Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jay.
Hey, Mr. Jay Johnson. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, what's up, Thomas? How are you?
Hey, buddy. So good to talk to you again, man. How's life?
Oh, life is great, bro. Life's good. Things are good on my end. How about you?
Good. I took a full-time position with Angie's List, but...
Oh, okay. Good.
Still doing the radio gig and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So
you're not... Cool. Okay, let's make sure you're not... We're not recording this yet. I didn't know if you went on into it or what.
We're not.
Yeah, just
what?
Just your local NPR radio host or a local radio host or your NPR correspondent or just Jay Johnson, local guy. I mean, whatever take you or angle you want to put or spin on, you want to put on, it doesn't matter, man.
Well, I didn't know if you actually wanted me to use your All Things Considered title or not.
You can, yeah, if you want to. That's fine, too.
Okay.
I just, if we do, I can't get too, obviously I can't get too controversial or, you know what I'm saying? I can't. So I'm like, I mean, my first question is she a man or is she a woman? I mean, really, the woman looks like a tranny to me. But we can't go there. I can't look, shine a bad negative light on the station, you know what I'm saying? So.
Oh, I'm with you, man. We can.
I want it coming back.
We can we'll keep it tame for you, sir.
That's cool, man.
All right, man. We'll do.
But yeah, feel free. Local host of all things considered. It's fine.
All right, give me in WFYI, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll just do it here in a countdown here. 5, 4, 3, 2. One. Welcome back to The Balance. My name is Saul Marquezel, Presidente. I tell you what, I am really honored to have I have promised you earlier on in the show here that we'd get into this Donald Sterling conversation, and my next guest, I caught up with him a little bit earlier this week, and you're going to talk with him a little bit about Donald Sterling. He's Jay Johnson, host of the local All Things Considered show here in Indianapolis from WFYI NPR Radio. Mr. Jay, good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning, Thomas. I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Man, life is good. Life is good. The sun is out. It's spring. It's May. We got race cars on the track. But the reason I wanted to have you on the show today was I just wanted to talk with you a little bit about this Donald Sterling issue. And you know, for all disclaimers out there purposely, I know that you're an African-American. You're also an African-American media host and radio host. Let's talk a little bit about, at first, your thoughts about Donald Sterling and how the NBA handled that.
Yeah, you know, people have been talking about this on every angle. Donald Sterling... gosh, I really feel sorry for the guy. There are a lot of ways you can look at it. Obviously, this was a conversation that was said behind closed doors. You know, in this country, we typically don't prosecute people for their thoughts, even though they may be prejudiced thoughts or biased or even racist. I think it's undeniable that he is, and that he is racist and has shared certain views that are biased. But when you're in a position of power like that and influence, and you are really someone who employs such a large number of the people that you seem to look so unfavorably upon, it just didn't seem to be a proper position for him to be in and to hold. Gosh, there's so many levels to this.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, Jay, I understand that, and certainly it just depends on what angle that you look at it. And I guess that's kind of another angle to look at this is, you know, we look it back, and I talked about this earlier this week on the Hot Corner, and we talked on our baseball show. I talked about Marge Schott. If you remember back a few years ago, the Cincinnati Reds owner, who really in a lot of ways made comments that were a lot worse than Donald Sterling's and got a far less punishment from it. And I guess also where this kind of comes in and takes a side turn for me on all of this is the opportunity, instead of using it as an opportunity to educate America, and they used it as an opportunity for all intensive purposes. And certainly, I mean this in the most respectful way, but as a lynch mob mentality. Basically, what happened here, once these comments were released, and again, a private conversation between him and his girlfriend, and, you know, we could look at it like this. It's his team. He owns the team. You get basically a free ride in a Bentley, a Porsche, all kinds of money, a nice apartment, a nice place to live, and you get that because of your association with me. And the one thing that I'm asking you to do is this, and that's what he asked. He has his reasons, I suppose, and we look at maybe an older school mentality that would be mm-hmm. Mark Schott in that same generation. When we think about this, Jay, going back several years, I don't know that his comments kicked civil rights back several years. I think what it did do that maybe the NCAAP and other African American leaders such as Magic Johnson did not do, they did not take this opportunity to educate America. What they did do is try to take a situation that was bad and basically say, here we have another old rich white man who's prejudiced. Let's get rid of him and we hate him.
Well, you make a point there. I suppose it's a matter of appropriateness. And granted, there are employers throughout the nation, throughout the world, that hold such views and probably have African-American employees. I think context is a really big thing here. And it's very situational when you talk about racism and you talk about the dynamics of what we're discussing. I personally think that some education has been brought to this. It's been talked about on so many stations, so many channels, over and over, and by a lot of people have come out and made a view, expressed their view. I think it's maybe not, if not educational, it's been enlightening. It's been it's certainly raised some awareness for others who thought this sort of mentality has been swept under the rug, but. Yeah, I think, like I said, context, I think, is a really big thing, because if you think in terms of Mark Schott, like you brought up, or Ursay situation, or the Michael Vick situation, you know, once you inject race into the conversation, it takes a different bent. And it's hard to ignore that. I mean, it takes a different tone. And, you know, it always just it changes the dynamics. I mean, let's say, for instance, he were a black owner and the players were white. And I guess, you know, but again, that changes the context, and the context is within American history, I guess. And that it all plays into the smaller situation plays into the larger situation, whatever that may be. Whether it's Mark Schott, whether it's Ursay with the drugs, or whether it's Vic and the dogs, or whether it's just this and race, there's a lot of dynamics around this. I mean, even from a legal standpoint, from a sociological standpoint, this is a deep conversation have. I mean, there's so many layers to it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well,
how would you compare something like this? I mean, you made some good points. How would you stack this up, say, against the Michael Vick and the punishment that was brought down there, or in Ursay, a situation there with the drugs?
Right.
And he's an owner himself, you know.
Exactly, and I guess and that would be my biggest question. Does the punishment fit the crime? Is Donald Sterling a model owner and a model citizen? No, not by any stretch of the imagination. Is he an idiot with diarrhea of the mouth? Absolutely. And did he say some inappropriate things? Absolutely. But as I talked with you a little bit when we were setting up this interview, it amazes me the difference in consequences when race becomes involved. Mm-hmm. Would we have the same conversation about Donald Sterling, let's say, if he had said Hispanic people, don't bring any Hispanic people to the games, or Mm-hmm. When he said, you know, hey, I don't appreciate you bringing other men to the games. Or would it have been any different if he had said, I don't want you to bring someone of a celebrity status like Magic Johnson. But because of the fact that he used words like those people, mm-hmm. black men, it becomes a racist statement, and he becomes a racist. Now, certainly he's demonstrated in his past that he has some racial tendencies. And by no means, Jay, we're talking with Jay Graves here in Indianapolis, WFYI, All Things Considered, NPR radio host. And certainly you have your own show, your own opinions. And so what I guess my one of my biggest things is when we bring in race into this situation, Jim Irsay, drug problem. Okay, Michael Vick, gambling problem. Issue with that is what brought the – so he has a problem. Would you not say that someone of that generation, of that age – let's face it, the generation of political correctness is completely different today than it was. Mm-hmm. Even 10, 15 years ago, what was accepted then is no longer accepted now. Is he a victim? I don't even like to use that word. That's probably the very wrong word to use. But is Donald Sterling a product of an error of uneducation? Did the African-American people miss the opportunity to educate America about racism, or did they just use Donald Sterling as an opportunity to elevate their platform? Because let's look at it like this, and I think most people know my stance on Obama, so this isn't anything new. But why in the world would President Obama latch himself to this when so many things surrounding Obama, such as the Tea Party and other people, they've called the Tea Party racist. Why would Obama even bother? He was overseas in Asia, had nothing to do with him or the country. Why would Obama step out in front of this? Because let's look at it like this: if we're to believe President Obama and his claims, he's part white and part black. Why is it whenever it's most convenient for him, he plays the black race card? So did they miss the boat? Did African Americans miss the boat in this opportunity? Because now, to me, Magic Johnson has been trying to buy, it's no secret, Magic Johnson has been trying to buy the Clippers for a while. And there are those, and you talk about different levels of conversation, there are those who say that this was all a ploy to drive Donald Sterling out of ownership. Now, here's the thing: if he gets divorced, he turns the team over to his wife or ex-wife. There's an option there. Also, his son-in-law, Donald Sterling's son-in-law, he has been on the board of directors and taking care of a lot of day-to-day activities for years. So. Mm-hmm. I guess the other layer, as we peel back this onion, Jay, was this racist motivated, or was this just an ignorant old man saying something stupid in his old age?
Yeah, I think both, honestly, Tom. And first, for your listeners, it's Jay Johnson, not Jay Graves. But I know you know me.
Sorry, I got to battle the Jay
stage. But
I'll probably do the same thing to him. I am so sorry about it. Go ahead.
Okay. Just want to attribute the comments yet to the right person. I don't know Jay, the other Jay. But no, you know, you bring up some other good points. Did we miss the boat, the magic ploy, et cetera? Did we miss a chance to educate people? I go back to the context of things. And when you inject – As an African American, I've got a perspective. You would have your perspective on this. I think we'd all have maybe different ones based on how we grew up and our experience of our life experience and the context of our life with the U.S., the U.S. history. In U.S. history, African Americans have a certain players have played a certain role, and I guess there's a certain level of sensitivity that seems to need to be had at a certain level of power if you're going to be accountable and responsible for a certain type of position like he was in. I agree. Granted, he was probably the victim of his generation, that mentality that they could carry through. Granted, he was, you know, taped. Who knows if it was knowingly or not, or behind closed doors. And we don't know who released it. You know, this V. Stiviano says she didn't release the tape to TMZ. We still don't know, you know, how what that has to deal with, and how that ties into the thing you brought up with the magic ploy. But I think, you know, on the African American issue, it's just context and lacking the sensitivity to know that being in a position of power and employing so many African Americans. I think it's important that you have that level of sensitivity. You know, in some way, he was made an example of, and he just kind of is his misfortune. But, you know, as far as us missing the boat to educate, no, I don't think we missed the boat. Again, I think a lot of people have spoken up. I think a lot of people have expressed their views on this, and a lot of it has been made, a lot of publicity and promotion. I think a lot of people already know and don't have to be educated necessarily. Then you're not going to change a lot of people's minds anyway. You kind of have your view based on the way you came up. I don't think we missed the boat. That's something I hadn't heard. And I don't think it's really the onus is on the African-American community to take this opportunity to educate based on his ignorance. But more so highlight the fact that this still exists, and it still exists in places where it can be considered oppressive to people because of his position. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing that people are taking it. You know, it could be taken that way. You know, with the magic ploy. I'm not even going to comment on that because until he may not even buy the team. I don't know if he has a bid for it or whatnot. He's expressed. I know he was in Indiana not too long ago. I think last week or earlier this week, he said he didn't have an interest in buying it. We know, of course, Donald Sterling, this thing's in a family trust. We don't know how this is going to go. He's known to be a real litigious person. He's real, you know, and to fight things. You know, of course, his wife has ownership. Family trusts are, you know, pretty hard to penetrate. It'll be interesting to see just how much power the NBA has to force him out. But, of course, I know other owners are going to have influence. First thing, I think, you know, he should just take the high road and just step aside. However, I mean, you know, quite honestly, the guy bought the team for what, 12, 16 million in the 80s?
He is going to come out very, very well. very, very well.
Well, yeah, it's worth, you know, half a billion now.
Right, exactly. We're talking with Jay Johnson of NPR, WFYI here in Indianapolis, all things considered. And great show Jay has, and certainly a good opportunity to listen to Jay if you get an opportunity WFYI NPR here in Indianapolis. Now, Jay, I want to ask you something else here. And again, I know this question was asked before Donald Sterling, and it's going to be asked for several years to come, if not for eternity. Why is it okay for one race to be racist but not the other races? And I specifically refer to Spike Lee. Because of his association with the NBA and because of his love of the Knicks and because of the things he has said, he has basically said things like white people shouldn't be allowed to move into black neighborhoods. He also mm-hmm. has had very, very influential conversations with owners of the Knicks about players and different things, and he's certainly had his say in the media that goes far deeper than what the regular fan has, and he has a voice, and many times and in many, many occasions, Spike Lee has been allowed to go out there and just spew whatever he wants to spew about white people. Why is that okay for him to say something like that and be in the position that he is in? Even though he doesn't own an NBA team directly, he is a director of film. He is an influence on society. Why is it okay for Spike Lee to say whatever comes to his mind with no repercussions?
I don't think it's okay. Quite frankly, I think a level of sensitivity needs to be maintained by whatever side you're on. You know, and when you say one race can be racist and not another, again, I continue to go back to the context of U.S. history. And, you know, African Americans lived in virtually a police state in the United States for a number of years. And that just, again, it's just when that is part of your history ingrained, that's it's. For an African American to say something about a white person takes it's a kind of a different tone when it's the other way around because of the course of history and then what the position we're in as far as power, influence, and whether we have to, we can't really be oppressive to white people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure ways one could, but on the larger scale, I guess. I don't think that sort of prejudice is right from coming from any side, either side. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily agree with the view, with the viewpoint, but I think, you know, when you want to compare the two races and one having an opinion versus the other toward the race, you got to kind of be sensitive to the context of U.S. history and that which is the society that we live in, and it's kind of, you know, where do you draw the line? Where do you stop history? I mean, it hasn't stopped. The line has continued. I guess that would be my opinion on it. I don't think it's right either way, but to be prejudiced on either side. Would you consider Spike Lee's comments to be racist comments?
I would. And just because of the fact of when he makes comments, and I use one of those as an example, where white people should not be allowed to move into black neighborhoods. And it's certainly in his films, he can make whatever film that he wants. He's the owner or producer or director. He can make whatever film he wants. That's what makes America great. If we don't want to watch it, we don't have to go watch it. But his films, on many occasions, have been skewed toward a, you know, let's hate the white guy type scenario, and that seems to be a fact. And so his history points to the fact that he is also racist. And also I look at Larry Johnson. You might have been familiar with some of the things he was tweeting about and talking about during all of this. He says that, you know, basically, he's the owner of the team. Personally, he should be able to have whoever he wants at the game, and that kind of goes to what I was saying earlier. He was asking a request of his girlfriend, and because his girlfriend was enjoys such a great life that he's provided for her publicly, if you're going to, you know, attach yourself to a certain element of people, I think I have the right to ask you to not come into my games, my teams. And if you're going to have the life that I've given you, then maybe he has that right to ask what he wants in an intimate type scenario. But also, Larry Johnson went on to say, and this is what one of the things that stick out to me, perhaps, that could possibly be skewed as racist as well. One of his tweets, he says, "Black people, you're focusing on the wrong thing." Now, this is Larry Johnson's tweet. "Black people, you're focusing on the wrong thing. We should be focusing on having our own team, our own league, our own self." So that said, when Larry Johnson makes comments like that, why is that not an issue?
That's a great point. Yeah, I think that's more of an economic issue. I did hear about that tweet, and I don't see that as a racist viewpoint. I see what you said about Spike Lee being more of racist. Yes, if I were white, I'd be offended by what Spike Lee said, particularly if I wanted to move in one of his neighborhoods. I would probably not want to go to his movies. I would not be a Spike Lee fan from that point on if I were to begin with. He's isolating a large share of his market, a large part of his audience, whatever it may be. I don't know how you can make a statement like that and not consider that racist. And you know, if an African-American were to say it, get offended. Or a white person were to say it, get offended. But Larry Johnson, I think he's seeking more of an economic empowerment. He's trying to He's trying to empower the African American community, much as some other, maybe even like, you know, say other communities have come. They come together. They pooled their money and their resources together to control the resources of which they're largely a part of. They make up a large part of the employees, the community itself. Whether it be, you know, I've got African friends from Nigeria. I've got Indian friends. A lot of these, they'll pull their monies together, buy businesses. They have a different mentality, their culture-wise, toward kind of their community and economic, I guess, empowerment, supporting their own businesses. And it's not just those communities. I mean, it's a lot of communities. I mean, whether it's, you know, I can go across the board. But I think that's what he was speaking to, and I don't think he was trying to isolate and say, you know, we shouldn't have white people come to our games. We should have a white league and a black league. It's more so we should really look and realize that it's skewed. It's skewed right now. We make up a majority of the league. We are making the money for this league. We are the draw. We are bringing the people through the doors, primarily being 80% African American. However, the people actually making the money at the top are white, the owners. I think so to go back to your point to educate, I think perhaps he's trying to take that point to educate the African American community, but I don't think he intends for it to be inflammatory and to incite racism per se, but more empowering from that standpoint.
Well, we've been talking, and it's been a great conversation. We've been talking with Jay Johnson of NPR local WFYI here in Indianapolis, all things considered in the afternoon from 2 to 7. Make sure you get an opportunity to check him out. Jay, I appreciate you taking some time to join us. And you and I are friends, and certainly I know this was a sensitive topic for you, and I appreciate you coming on the show today and talking with us about that. And I always like to give all my guests, no matter who they are, an opportunity to talk about some of the things that whatever that might be on their mind. Certainly we got the Pacers getting ready to start this afternoon, and game 7 decisive game, and certainly a lot's been going on there with the Pacers. So anything that you'd like to talk about, anything that's coming up on your show, you know, feel free to promote the hell out of yourself, Mr. Jay Johnson, not Jay Gray.
Okay. Yeah, Thomas, yeah, no. Yeah, for the most part, yeah, I appreciate a chance to come on. It's always fun to talk to you, man. And you know, this is really no easy, straightforward answer. This is a very complicated issue. This issue, not just race, but this isolated incident, and there's so many layers to it. And so it's hard to, you know, just to nail everything down, but I appreciate the chance to chat with you. This is fun. We don't really have anything to promote, man. We're this daily news talk, public affairs, business, politics. I mean, whatever's going on in the day. I always would love to discuss with you. But so we'll look forward to doing it sometime in the future. In the meantime, yeah, I'm gonna try to be rooting for the Pacers, and hope we can close this series out. Move on to round two, man.
Absolutely. Hey, real quickly, where can people find your work, your masterpieces, stalk you on social media or what have you? Or that you
they
want to
can
give
go
out.
To
Maybe you don't want to give that out. Okay.
Next time, Leah, let me get you that next time.
All right, buddy. we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Thomas.
Jay Johnson of WFYI, all things considered, taking some time to talk with us today about Donald Sterling. My name is Tom Mark with El Presidente. This is The Balance. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Have you ever Okay, Jay, are you there?
Yeah, man. No, I appreciate the chance, man, because, you know, there's not a lot of places you can go and just feel like you can free talk freely, and you know, you're fair with things. You bring up good points, and I mean, I didn't really think it was going to get so – I mean, you ask more questions, shit.
Hey, man, I'm sorry, man. I try to keep it laid back for you, man, but, you know.
No, it was cool. No, I just, I didn't really – hadn't thought through what I was going to say, but, yeah, you know, it's a difficult topic, bro, you know.
And well, I appreciate
you. I don't know.
I appreciate you coming on, my friend. I really do. I'll let you get about your day, and I'll send you a copy of all of this. And, of course, if you want to listen to it tomorrow, you know it'll be on. It'll probably air around 9:30 a.m. in the morning.
Okay, cool. Overall, you think do you think it's cool overall, or?
Oh yeah, I think it went great. Everything was fine. Easy all squeezy,
right,
bud. I wish all my guests were as easy as you, man.
Oh, cool, man. Well, that's good to hear, man. Well, thanks again.
Tomorrow
go
after
ahead.
That, after your interview, I've got the other Jake. You need to check out.
Who the hell is Jay Graves anyway?
He's a blogger. It's called Jay Graves Report. He's got a thing called the Hot Joe. You can actually check it out. It's actually not bad stuff. He comes on my show every now and then, but he's a good guy. But he's got opinions. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. So I knew he would be a good posturer. So in one of his blogs this week, he mentioned that the NBA should be financially taking care of the girlfriend and all that stuff. So I thought, man, let's get the posture going real good here.
Yeah. There's so many ways you can go with this, man. So yeah, I'm sure you can milk this shit forever, but.
All right, buddy.
Was the audio okay? I'm just on my cell phone. Did it come through okay?
Oh yeah, yeah. I had to pull over. Yeah, I was looking at the levels, and there was no problems with the audio at all. No problem.
Okay.
At all, so.
Yeah. After the first question, I was driving on the interstate. I had to pull over to get situated, and so from then on, it was cool. But yeah.
Yeah, it was fine.
All right, Thomas, man. Yeah, it was fun. So let's do it again sometime, anytime in the future. Hey, have you talked to Sean? Speaking of that, your soccer correspondent.
Well, I talked with him at first, and he told me he was in rehab up at in Goshen or something like that. But I think he's out now, and I think he's supposed to be back at work. But I'm not sure. I haven't heard back from him, so I don't know.
That's
sir.
What they said.
Well, let's get together for that
like
beer, bro.
Yeah, let's do that, Thomas. All right, man.
Funny how we go from a rehab conversation. Hey, let's get together for a beer.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Speaking of rehab, have a beer.
All right. I'll talk to you soon,
my
friend.
All right. All right, bye-bye.